Thank God. Well, we've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God for several weeks now. And of course, the Word is the number one way that we can be led. God's already put things in His Word, statutes, directions for us to be led. We don't have to question anything that's in the Word. If it's in the Word and we see it, it's in black and white, you don't have to go back to God and say, well, God, I don't know about that. No, we know. If you don't understand something specific in the Word, then ask God to reveal it, show you how. If you're having trouble with a certain verse or whatever, you know, ask for light on it. But if it's there and it's plain, you don't have to go back and question whether or not that's the will of God, because the Bible is God speaking to us. If we'll just take it like that. Our Bible reading and our study, when we realize that when I'm reading this, it's not I'm just reading some ancient book, but it is God speaking to me. And the Holy Spirit will quicken to us what we need. How many have you been there and you've been reading something and it is doesn't have anything to do with your situation, but God starts quickening something to you? Could be, you know, somewhere in the Old Testament talking about how somebody, you know, had this person or whatever, and something's being quickened in you, an answer for your situation. Why is that? Because the whole Word is inspired. And it's all Holy Spirit. And He will quicken His direction and His wisdom to us. So when we pick up the Bible and we read it as if it's God speaking to me, it takes on a whole new character. It's not a chore. And we don't ever have to get in that vein where you think, well, but I got to cover how many chapters or how many verses. If God stops you on one verse, don't move on. If he, you know, it'd be like if He's speaking to you in the person and you go, okay, but I got to get on to this next thing. You would never do that. If Jesus were talking to you and He's on a certain subject, you would say, but get on. I got to get on. I have another chapter to get to. You'd never do that. You'd be saying, whatever you have to say, I'm here. Well, if He's caught us on one verse, don't move on. He's dealing with us for days, months, however long. It's just nourishing you, just stay there. And I've done that. Two verses, I just go back, go over it until He's done. How do you know He's done? Inside, like we've been talking about, just being led, peace up. All right. And when you start going over it again, it's kind of like, okay, it's done. I'm done with that meal. I'm done with what he was trying to get over to me, and I can move on. Then move on. So don't ever get into some kind of rule-keeping or whatever, where I have to do this many things. Now, that's good to go through the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. But if God's speaking at a certain point, don't let your way of doing things, your method, interfere with Him actually speaking to us. That's kind of backwards. The whole point of us putting aside the time is for Him to speak to us. Then we start speaking to us. We say, yeah, but I got to get on so that what? So He can speak to me? But He's speaking to me now. So we might as well just stop and let Him be God. But anyhow, if the Word says something to us, we don't have to question it. So, okay, that's settled. That's not what we're talking about. But this Bible, you know, this is some review, but just to get everybody on the same page, the Bible doesn't tell me who to marry. It tells me who not to marry. Like, in general, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, either in business, it's talking about there, but that goes for marriage, stuff like that. It doesn't tell me who. Shelley's name is not in here. How am I going to find out who I'm supposed to marry? Well, like we've talked about, He's going to bear witness with our spirits. He's not going to bear witness with our head, not going to bear witness with our eyes or feelings or anything. He's going to bear witness with our heart, our inside, our spirit man. So that's what we've been talking about, how we get that across, how we walk that out in our lives. How does He lead us in those things that aren't specifically in the Word? But in no way, shape, or form are we ever saying we should do something that we think God is telling us to do if it's contradictory to the Word of God. Never will happen. He will never lead us that way. That's maybe a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. So, but there's a lot that the Bible has to say about just how we get ourselves in a position to hear what He's saying. So let's read Romans 8. This has kind of been our starting point. Romans 8:14, and we'll go on from there. And we'll just let Him speak to us what He wants to say today. We're not going to get in a rush. We'll see how much there's a lot of scriptures on there, but I just do that so that we have everything available, but we're not going to try to blow through everything. we do get through it, great. Romans 8:14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy." Verse 16, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." He doesn't bear witness with our head. Doesn't bear witness with our feelings. Doesn't bear witness with, you know, my external touch, my sense of touch, or my sense of sight, sense of hearing. That's not how he bears witness with us that we are children of God. It's with our heart, our spirit. And that's the same way He leads us in all things. He bears witness with our heart. And we went over that. And all those messages are available, you know, on the web. I encourage you to go back and listen. That's the whole point. Well, we don't have time to recap everything, but like we went over a couple weeks ago, we are a spirit. We are born of God. We are a spirit, born again of Him. He's spirit. And so we're spirit. We have a mentality, intellect, mind, will, emotions, which would be our soul, and then our body, pretty much aware of what that is. We know that's where we live, sense. We can see, hear, feel, touch, taste. But He doesn't bear witness with our body. He doesn't bear witness with our mind. If you don't feel saved one day, that really doesn't have any bearing on the fact of whether or not you're saved. If you don't feel like you're right with God, like in a sense of that you've been born again, well, I just don't feel like a good Christian. Well, if you've done something, you know, come talk to God about it. But you feeling like I just don't have power in my life or anything, it doesn't make any difference. You still have it. So He's going to bear witness with our hearts. And that's what we've been talking about. Now today, let's turn over to Matthew 26. Today I want to talk about consecration and what that has to do with hearing from God and getting direction from God. Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. It says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will.' Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, a second time He went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, Your will be done.' And He came and found them asleep again, for the eyes were heavy. So He left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then He came to His disciples and said, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" So verse 39, what does it say? "He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will.'" That's the Son of the living God about to go to the cross for us. And He was having trouble with it in His flesh, in His mind. He did not want to do that. He was not jumping up and down. But He went to God, His Father, and He said, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, when we come to God, we want to find out from Him, God, what is your will? Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to do? Whom do you want me to marry? What job do you want me to take? Where do you want me to live? Is there something in ministry specifically that you have for my life? Is there something in business that you have for my life? What do you have for me, God? We have to be open to what He says and His will. Now, I know that sounds like that might be too simple and too easy, but don't miss it because it sounds simple. Because there are a lot of people that go to God asking Him what to do, but they don't necessarily mean it. You have to be willing to do whatever He says. People go and say, Lord, do you want me to marry this person? They're getting, you know, they like this person. They're kind of getting excited. God, is this the one? Is not the one? They have to be willing to say, no, that's not the one. Otherwise, you might as well not ask. But it's easy. I've been there. I don't need to go into all the details, but there was a girl I dated for a long time, and I knew right at the beginning, she's not the one. And I went around in circles about that because my mind couldn't get wrapped around it. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, but God, but there's this. But in my heart, I'm telling you right near the beginning, nice girl, nothing wrong with her, but just not for you. I'm not going to tell you how long I messed with that. It's longer than it should have been. A lot longer. But I was asking God. See, I was trying to get Him to change His mind. I was trying to get Him. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I didn't hear it. People will not help you. Okay? You can't go by what people say. There was this time this friend that I had known, I was friends with this one guy, and then I had gotten to be friends with their parents. And there was this thing going on at college this one day, and so parents were coming in and whatever. And this girl happened to come over because you know, it was this big, there's a lot of people there. And I was talking to this friend of mine's parents, and this girl had been around, and they had seen her. So I'm talking to the dad, and he said, oh, that's the one you were dating? You said, are you sure it was God? You sure you weren't supposed to be dating her? I mean, because she was a pretty girl. She's a nice girl, smart girl. But he tells me this, well, you sure that was God you were here? That doesn't help. That doesn't help me. I knew what God had said, but I'm thinking, dude, you're making it harder on me, because then you go another round. Well, see, is it God? But I knew. I knew inside. I did not want to hear it. Didn't want to hear it. So that's what we have to be careful of. That we see, God doesn't change. If it's His plan yesterday, it'll be His plan tomorrow. It'll be His plan a year from now. He doesn't change. He doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't go, oh, well, you're right. I see your point now. You talked me into it. He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't deliberate. When He makes a judgment, it's right, period. Never going to go out of style, period. It's right. So if He says something and you know it's Him saying it, when we go to Him, we have to be willing to hear something we don't want to hear in the flesh or in the mind. That's a prerequisite for hearing what He really wants to tell us. Somebody said it like this. You'll get the plan on the willing band. You know what that means? I mean, we don't even listen to the radio much. But if you go out to your car and you're trying to pick up an FM station on the AM band, it will not ever happen. Never. Why? Two different frequencies. You can drive your bumper up to the radio station, have all kinds of equipment receiving, you won't pick it up. You turn over, I don't know which way I said it, AM, let's say you're trying to pick up an FM station on the AM band, you go over to the AM band, you're going to pick it up. Well, so many people are asking God, what should I do? But they're not willing to do whatever He says. And so they go around in circles. Well, God, what do you want me to do? But they're not willing. Once we get willing is when that we are put in position to hear what He wants us to do. Not my will, but Your will. I go and say, look, God, whatever. And mean it. And mean it. Not religious, not, because it doesn't matter. You can say that in a crowd. Oh, God, you know, whatever you want. But when you're at home and you have to actually follow through, that's where it counts. God, what do you want me to do? What? I don't care what it is. You want to send me halfway across the world? I'm in. You got to be willing to hear it, that if He says, pack your bags, you're ready. Are you, you know, are we there when we ask Him? Because so many times we kind of have an idea of what we think we want to do, and then we want Him to back it up and say, yeah, it sounds like a good plan, okay. Have Him bless our plans. You know how crazy that is? We're going to try to get the everlasting one, the King of the universe, the one that created this whole everything we know, and then we're going to come up with some plan with our limited ability, limited exposure to the world. You know, there's 7 billion people in this world. We've lived in a little bit of it geographically. We know a small fraction of those people. Small. We may have read some books, but it's a very small fraction of the books. He knows all. We're going to come up with a plan and say, hey, God, how about this? Crazy when you say it. No, He already knows. He already has the plan. He's got it. So we just need to go to Him and say, God, what's the plan? He'll say, all right, here it is. That's the qualification for hearing Him. Look at Matthew on your sheet there, Matthew 26:39, the Amplified. It says, praying, so what Jesus prayed, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass away from me, nevertheless, not what I will or not what I desire, but as You will and desire. In the Williams translation, it says, yet I pray not what I want, but what You want. Bottom line, because who are we on this earth? We're His servants. We're His bondservants. We're His children. We're His eyes, His feet, His hands. We're to do, I mean, He can see. We're to be His representation here on this earth. Let's turn over to Philippians 2. Oh, God is so good. And we've all missed it in areas like this. I mean, I just got done telling you one area I did. So when we're reading this, this is not to knock us over the head because the devil tried to do it. See, you missed it here. You're stupid there. You weren't willing. That's not the point. The point is we have a good Father who's smarter than us. We said that before, but we know that. We just got done saying it. He is smarter than us, and we have to acknowledge that He knows more than us and that He loves us and He wants us to get to the right place. And it comes down to an issue of trust. If we really trust Him and really believe Him, we'll follow Him. But the devil will do everything he can to try to muddy the waters, to try to get us off, to try to get us into a point where we think, if we listen to Him, even if we know, see, back when I was dating that girl, I knew what he was saying, but I didn't want to hear it. I don't know what kind of heartache I saved myself by listening to him. I don't, you know, you don't know. But I know it was God, believe me. If it wasn't God, I would have figured it out over that period of time. Because it didn't go away. It did not go away. But when I was dating Shelley, you know, there's stuff involved. You got to check your heart. You got to check, you know, your emotions aren't getting involved. But it just kept getting better and better. It's like, yeah, this will be okay. This will gel with what I already have for you. There's not necessarily one person. You know, you don't have to get into that. Don't get hung up in legalism. But this one will work. In Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If it's good enough for Jesus, if the Son of the living God had to do this, I think it's good enough for me and you. Think of this. The Son of the living God did this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. And that's what we're to do, is humble ourselves. Realize we don't know it all. That if we have become his children, made him our Lord, that means he's our Lord. There. Whatever he tells us to do, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. That's all right. That sounds good. Like I mentioned this. We were saying the other day. If he says it and he starts to ask me to do something, the answer is yes, even if I don't know what it is. See, if he starts to ask me, there are certain people that if they called me up and asked me to do something before they said anything, I'd be inclined to say yes because of who they are. Doesn't matter what the question is. I know who they are. I know that if they're going to ask me, it's not something that's just, you know, out in left field. I'm already thinking yes. You know, you check with God and make sure, but yes. Well, God will never ask us to do something that's going to hurt us. It's the best possible thing we could ever do. Period. We can't think up a better plan. He's already got that part figured out. Our job is to walk where he is telling us to walk. So if he's asking me to do it, my answer is yes. Okay. Now what if I don't think, I can't see all the reasons why and it doesn't make sense? Does that really matter? Is that my job? It's not my job to figure out and have the bird's eye view. I'm the guy on the ground. I'm not in the helicopter. If he tells me to go left, I'm going to go left. Why? Because he can see better than I can. He knows what's up ahead, but it looks so good to go right. Yeah, but you're going to get ambushed if you go right. There's 15 guys with machine guns up there. You're dead. Go left. But I don't see it. It doesn't matter. If I trust the guy with the radio, I'm going to go left. But we've all been there. God, what? You want me to move where? But God. I don't know how many times this has played out in my life as I've endeavored to walk with him. But over and over. And we just have to listen to him because he knows more than we do. We just have to get it out of our heads that we need to have everything figured out. It's not in our job description. Now, one thing that's going to play against us is the world will tell you that you need to have it figured out. You need to have your how many plan, your one-year plan, your five-year plan, your 10-year plan, and you need to know all this stuff. I'm not against planning. But it's got to be in line with what he says. If God tells us to do certain things, that's my plan. But if I make a plan for 5 years and I realize by the time I get close that he's really telling me over here, and maybe that's what I thought 3 years ago, but I've got more light, more understanding, now it's really over here, I better adjust my plan because I am his servant. I'm going to go where he tells me to go. I stay, you know, open. But the world is saying, you get it together, you figure out what you want to do, and if you believe, you can do anything. Half right. Figure out what he wants you to do, go to him and get the plan. If he tells it to do you, do it, and you believe, you can do it. That's the truth. He is our Lord, not us. So if he tells us to do it, shut up, head. But I don't see how. Shut up, nobody asked you. Nobody asked you what you thought, but your flesh is, I don't care. Nobody asked you. We're doing this because we're serving Him. And so if we'll have that attitude going in, being willing to do what He's asked us to do, then He can tell us what He wants us to do. If we just go in and say, God, whatever. God, whatever. God, whatever. I'm willing. Now He can talk to you. He can lead us. He can get us where we need to go, where we need to be, because He knows what's coming down the pike. Let's turn over to John 5. John 5, verse 30. This is Jesus speaking. In my Bible, it's red. It says, I can of myself do nothing. That blow some people's theology right out of the water right there. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If He said that, if Jesus said that, He's our example, right? Ultimate example. If He told us what we ought to do, and if He said that He had to go to the Father and get His will, and not His own will to be done, but the Father's, and of Himself He could do nothing, then who are we to think we're going to come up with the plan and we're going to make it succeed? See, that's what's told us over and over. You can do it. You can figure it out. It's against what the world thinks, but the Bible's clear. We need to go to Him. And it takes, like we just read, that Jesus humbled Himself. It takes a humility to realize we can't do it all. That's not a statement of weakness. We can do what He tells us to do. If He told us, that doesn't mean we sit there and go, I just can't do anything. No. But He tells us to do something, we say, I can't do it of myself. If Jesus said that, that's not, and He's not weak. If He said He couldn't do it in and of Himself, then we surely can't do it in and of ourselves. Surely. So if He said He has to do it with the Father's help, then we do too. And so it's not a statement of weakness saying, God, I need Your help. Show me. Well, Christianity, that's just for people that are weak. They need a crutch. Okay. Some living God needed a crutch then, too. No, that's pride. That's our flesh. That's our we wanting to be in control. Turn over to Matthew. Matthew 10. Verse 34. Says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, there's a lot that could be said here, but this is not saying that Jesus Himself came to bring division. He is saying belief on Him is going to divide people. People are not going to want to find Him, because obviously there are so many scriptures that He's saying, you know, as much as it depends on you, walk in love with one another, walk in peace, make peace with one another. That's not the point. And it's also not the point in verse 37, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. This is not talking about forsaking your family like we talked about several months ago and going off. People used it to say, you just have to, sometimes I've got to, you know, put my family aside because I love Him. He created the family before He did any type of ministry. There was no ministry in the Garden of Eden. He created man and wife, family. There's nobody to minister to. There was nothing to go get done, and that was created first. That trumps anything. We don't leave family. We don't neglect our family to go and do the work of God. That's misled. But he's saying, he who loves his father more than me is not worthy of me. If you esteem, if you're going to put people before your relationship with God, make them more important. Natural things more important than him. He said, you're not worthy of me. Now keep in mind, this is the twilight between the Old and New Covenants. This is still applicable. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If you put other things first, even relationships above him. And what, in other words, I've seen this happen. And I've had to deal with it, or I've heard people. Now, I'm not saying anything about, I'll say it this way. Like, when I was dating that one person, I initially, when I was looking for a church, I was thinking, I need to go someplace with a lot of college people, because we need to have fellowship. That's your mind. And we went to the church I ended up going to, and left, because there wasn't that many people there. And we said, we got it. We were there 5 minutes and left. And they were singing praise and worship. And I ended up going back there. Well, so I eventually broke up with that person. And I said, God, I don't care where you want me to go. I don't care if I have to go to every church in Lincoln, Nebraska. I will go where you want me to go. I don't care about what's there, what's not there, anything. Because I'm going to go where you want me. I had a pretty good idea. I went back to this church. I was like, yeah, I think I should be there. I went to a different church the next week. I left, and I just knew I was supposed to be back at this other church, which is where I stayed years and years. But at that point, I wasn't married, but I've seen people do similar things. Or, you know, they make decisions based on, well, we can't go over there or do that because what about our children? Or we can't go to that church. Like I was saying, well, see, I need to go where there's college students. Number one, I wasn't going to marry that lady anyway. It didn't matter if there's college students. People do this going to Rhema all the time. One, it's, you know, the name of it's Rhema Bible Training Center, but people call it Rhema Bridal Training Center. People go there all the time thinking, I need a wife, well, or a husband. Well, I mean, you go there, there's 1,000 whatever, you know, spirit-filled, love God. I got to find my wife or a spouse there. I don't know. I mean, man, it is just a constant joke down there, and the student body has gotten younger and younger over the years, but people go there and they're looking. They got one thing on their mind. I mean, they have stops in place for this because we're going to get married. It's God. And you know everybody at Rhema is going to, if they think they're going to get married, they're going to say, it's God. I don't know how many times that poor pastoral staff's heard it's God. Well, you don't know, but this God, we got to get on the work with God. And they go counsel them, and some people don't listen and all that. But I'm saying, you don't go to a place because you think your relationships will even be impacted. If God's telling you to go somewhere, you go. Your relationships will be taken care of. Yes. Don't think, you know, I can't go. I mean, we moved out here knowing nobody. Nobody. Not a soul. I don't know how many times people. So I would tell people, Bible-believing, spirit-filled, believe you're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. We're going to, you know, move out to Andover. Andover, Massachusetts. Do you have family out there? You know people? Every time, you know, asking us something. What's the reason? There's got to be some reason. Well, we believe God told us. Oh, okay, well, I'm not. It's like, well, okay, maybe. Yeah. But they're looking for another reason. We don't know anybody. So you're going to put your kids in Christian schools or whatever? Didn't have any witness to do that. You know, no. We don't know anybody. They don't know anybody. God said, let your light shine. I'm just telling you what God told us. I mean, you put your kids in Christian schools, fine. It's whatever God tells us, right? But we could have said, and I've heard people say this, people I know. Well, we can't go there. What about our kids? We can't do that. I mean, our kids got to be taken care of. They act like they're taking care of their family. But what you're saying is if God told me to go there, he doesn't know about my family. Well, doesn't God know that if I move out there, my kids won't be taken care of? No, if God told you to do something, your kids will be stronger if you follow him than ever if you try to get out of the will of God going over here. He knows. Good night. What are the people over that go over to missionary and they go to like, you know, some other country? And there's nobody's ever heard the gospel at all. I mean, it's complete blackness. What do those people do if they have kids? I know some of them. What do they do? Poor God doesn't know that they can't go there and have a healthy, strong kids. But that's what he's saying, you know. Don't put your spouse, your kids above what he says. He knows more than us. He is smarter than us. If he tells us to do something, anything that we could think of, already taken care of. We're not going to come up with something and go, yeah, but God, he's like, oh, you're right. Forgot. I missed that one. No, not going to happen. He has thought of it all. And so if he tells us to do something, we just say yes. What about, yes, it's taken care of. Yes, it's taken care of. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You worry about today. You just follow me. I'll take care of it. Thank God. Now let's read this scripture and we'll wrap it up. Or we already read most of that, but he says in verse 38, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I have a couple other translations. What does he say in Matthew 10:38, Weymouth, on your sheet there? Follow where I lead. Just go where I tell you to go. You know, verse 38, we can say, well, people make a religious saying out of this, he who does not take up his cross and follow me. He's just saying, wherever I tell you to go, you do that. And then verse 39, in our translation, our paraphrase, it says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. If you try to cling to what you think is the right thing, you'll lose it. If you try to make excuses and say, yeah, but I'm really doing this for the good of my family. Yeah, but, you know, financially. Yeah, but you're clinging to your life. We have to be willing to throw it all away and say, God, what do you want me to do? I trust you. I believe you have good plans for me. If you said to do it, I'll do it. And it'll be good. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will save it. Thank God. Bottom line, if we'll just yield our lives to him, wherever that path may take us, beforehand saying, God, whatever, I trust you, I know you, whatever you want me to do, it's yours. And he tells us, okay, I'm going to do it, we'll be blessed. We'll get where we need to be, we'll be taken care of, spirit, soul, body, our families will be strong, everything will be good. Why? Because he's got it all figured out. His plan is better than our plan, and he'll lead us. He'll guide us. He said he would. Thank God. That so many times we just got to be willing to trust him. Thank God. Lord, we're so